Welcome to Mosaic Wealth Partners in 8 Minutes or Less. I'm Eric Jaffe and I'm here with Chris Williams. In today's episode, we're going to revisit our earlier podcast discussion of interest rates. Chris, after a few 0.5% interest rate increases, the Fed recently announced a rate hike of 0.75%. And that's something they hadn't done since 1994. Not only that, Chairman Powell also coupled this larger hike with follow-up comments essentially saying, don't be surprised if we do this again. I think this is a pretty clear indication that the Fed believes it's going to have to take some aggressive steps in order to combat the high inflation that we've been seeing. And while I think there's a good likelihood that some of these actions will help even out some of the supply chain issues we've seen due to lowering demand, and may work to curb the inflation more broadly, there is a concern that slowing the economy too much too quickly will result in a recession. And it seems pretty clear that the markets are becoming increasingly fearful that this is going to happen. What are your thoughts?
Well, if you go back to, let's say, the late 90s, when CNBC had come around and started broadcasting these rate decisions real time, and then there was discussion real time. And of course, since then, we have more social media, internet ways to talk about things quicker. But in this 25-year period, this latest, let's say, six-month cycle of Powell raising rates to combat inflation is the most scrutinized. There are more armchair quarterbacks than I've ever seen. So there's definitely a lot of negative press that at least gets quoted to say Powell should have raised rates more aggressively. He should have done this. He should have done that. A recession is coming. On top of that, you have analyst surveys, and they're up to about 80% where it's forecasting some type of recession. So all the sentiment is one way. However, sentiment is something that usually goes the other way, meaning anytime 80% of analysts all agree, the opposite happens. And to that point, there are some analysts making some very strong arguments that this supply demand and this inflation spike is temporary and that Powell is actually overreacting. So my thought is, yeah, I see the trend. I feel the negativity. You know, I'm looking at that, but I'm also saying, well, I have enough data and historical evidence that we're not necessarily headed to the recession. So I want to be very, you know, clear about that and just be very cautious in how we're looking at this whole situation.
I think those are some very good points. I'd like to pivot and get a little more granular than we normally do. Let's discuss what we're doing at Mosaic in our portfolios to address this volatility. Specifically, what are we at Mosaic doing to try to temper the heightened risk and volatility that we've seen in the market so far this year?
Well, we could start with the easy part without getting into risk return metrics. Let's think about the last 10 years. And let's think about even with pandemic and the 07 to 011, you know, the Federal Reserve was always under the gun to cut rates and stimulate growth, which has happened. The effect into the markets was that growth stocks, companies that had more of a promise of what they were going to do than what they were actually doing, a Tesla, a Google, that sort of thing, all did tremendously well. And we're in the opposite situation right now. So they are not doing so well. So what we're looking at is two things. One, what sectors were out of favor that would be in favor in the current environment that we're in? And two, to keep it really simple, for the first time in what seems like forever, there are two avenues to success that really weren't there. One is looking at companies that pay higher dividends. So even if they don't have a big appreciation number, they're not projected to grow, well, they're going to pay you 3, 4, 5% for owning them. So we can now have more value in dividend companies that are paying us. And in the same vein, we all know there's been no bonds to be bought for the last 10 years with low interest rates. We are finally at a position where we can say, okay, we can own some bonds here for the same reason that they're now offering 3, 4, 5, 6%, whatever the number is. And we feel pretty confident that they've just been beat up pretty badly. So this is a good buying opportunity or a start to buy opportunity, right? And start to build this position up. So those are two areas that, you know, we believe really will mitigate volatility, in the sense that if we're going up and down, we're going up and down, we're going to get paid while we're watching the up and down.
Chris, I want to circle back to something else you mentioned a minute ago. You pointed out that for the first time in quite some time, bonds are starting to offer returns that are worth something. What effect do you think it's going to have that we are now reintroducing some shorter duration, traditionally more conservative vehicles that are offering real tangible returns? Do you think we'll see a shift with institutional money moving to vehicles that haven't been available to them with any real return possibility for a number of years?
Yes, I think there's two points of emphasis here. One is, let's just take the S&P dividend. You know, for the past 10 years, you can own the S&P 500, and your roughly 2% dividend is still better than any bond you could have bought. Well, now we have bonds with interest rates from 2 to 3+%. So you could see a manager say, you know what, the S&P is no longer where I want my money. There's too much volatility there. I could put it into a safer vehicle and get a higher just interest or dividend return. Two, which is an area that I don't think people really focus on, during this entire run-up in the past 10 years, there is article after article and data point after data point that there is cash on the sidelines. So there were a lot of people making the argument the market can still do well because a lot of the money that left has not come back into it. And is it going to come back into it now as we're falling? Right? I mean, theoretically, you say, wow, it's a cheaper price, we should buy. But money managers have certain mandates. They don't look at it that way. Whether it's a manager or a person with, you know, $100,000 in cash, are they going to put that into the market to help support prices and move it back higher? Or are they going to say, hey, everything seems choppy, I'm going to put this into a 1-2 year bond that I can make 2.75% on for a relatively risk-free return. And then I'll see where things are right after it settles. I think it's far more likely that cash on the sideline now moves into shorter fixed income than it does going into the market. And that is a problem in terms of getting the market back up to its, let's call it, recent highs.
I think those are two great points, Chris, and we're obviously going to need to keep an eye on both of these scenarios. For one, are we going to see money coming out of equities to move to more conservative, less volatile vehicles? And secondly, are we going to see more cash coming off of the sidelines and then going into these lower volatility investments as opposed to being moved into the equity markets? That's all the time we have for today's episode. So please join us next time when we kick off a 3-part series on megacap stocks and how they have somewhat taken over the major indices. We look forward to you joining us then.